Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. And all your promises are yes and amen. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. So our confidence, as we just sang, our confidence needs to be in God's faithfulness, right? That's what we just sang. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else around us is constantly changing, but he stays the same. And he knows the beginning from the end, and he knows all the little details between the beginning and the end. And all we can see is right now. And at times that's too much. It's too much. But he knows it all, beginning and end. All his ways are good. We may not understand them fully, but all his ways are good. We know his plans for us are to prosper us, not to harm us. His plans are to give us hope and a future. So don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. And don't let the devil steal your future by making poor choices. God is so much better than we dreamed. So, Father, thank you for the gift of worship. Thank you that we can just set aside the cares of the day and the world and not to worry about anything later today or tomorrow. That'll be here soon enough. That just to enter into your presence, just to spend time floating into worship, just connecting with what's happening around the throne of your grace 24/7, that ongoing nonstop worship that we like to tap into that flow and like I say, ride that worship wave for a while and then we come back out and we're here to hear truth now from your word. So give us ears to hear what it is you want us to know today before we leave here. Amen. Amen. We started a two-part message 2 weeks ago. And it was titled, I'm Still Waiting, Lord. And we were talking about what do we do when it seems God doesn't answer our prayers. And a lot of you seem to relate to that. And I think we're all in that boat. What do we do when God doesn't answer our prayers, or at least not in the way we hoped he would, right? Because we have a way we want him to answer our prayers. And we have a time we want him to answer those prayers in. But what do we do when he doesn't seem to answer them in the way we hoped or when we hoped? So we're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago and overlap a little just to tie the 2 weeks together. So the title of this morning's message is I'm Still Waiting, Lord, Part 2. If you missed Part 1, Chris created a podcast. So we now have a podcast you can check out. And we want people to know about that and to share that. He finally talked me out of burning CDs because nobody has CD player anymore. So everybody's got a cell phone now, so you can go on, let's see if I can remember, Anchor, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Breaker. I get them all, Chris? Oh, there they are. Yeah, so Chris has set that up for us, so give you something to listen to sometimes. You can't sleep at night, put that on, put you right out. All right, don't lose your hope. Don't let the devil steal your future. We're going to be, this is part two, right? John 14, 1 John 5, and Romans chapter 12. So Lord, open up your word to us and teach us. Amen. Anybody besides me still waiting on God to do something in your life? Yeah. Still waiting for him to answer that prayer you've been praying, but you haven't experienced your breakthrough yet. You're not walking into victory. You haven't received the answer. I know that feeling, man. That mountain in our way still hadn't moved, has it? That loved one we've been praying for years maybe, still hasn't changed. Situation at work hasn't gotten any better. And what about our kids? Oh my! What about our grandkids? It's like, come on, Lord, do something already, please. How many know that feeling? We pray and we wait. And we pray some more and we wait some more. And We still pray some more, and we still wait some more. We pray, we fast, we wait and wait and wait and wait, and still no answer. No results. And like King David asked in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord? How long? The writer of Psalm 119 says in verse 84, how long must I wait? I've asked that question. Wait's one of those four-letter words we don't like. But remember what we just sang? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. And I said the other week, Jesus himself tells us in John 5:17, my Father is always working, and so am I. Be encouraged by that this morning. My Father is always working, Jesus said, and so am I. So when we're in a waiting season, we need to remember there's a natural delay between sowing and reaping. There's a delay between planting and harvesting. Ask any farmer. We always harvest in a different season than when we planted. We'll always reap in a different season than when we sow. We don't plant corn one day and go out and pick some ripe ears of corn the next day. If you do, I would recommend don't eat that corn. There's something wrong with it. It doesn't work that way in the natural, and it doesn't work that way in our prayer life. We sure wish it did, though, don't we? Pray one day and the answer's there the next. We live in such a fast-paced, high-speed, instant everything culture. We don't want to wait for anything. We don't even want to wait for God. We want it now. Yesterday would have been even better, but we want it now. Have you ever noticed that when we're in a hurry, God's not? Man, don't you hate that? That can be so frustrating. But Jesus doesn't want us to give up. He tells us, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, be persistent, don't give up. Keep waiting, keep trusting, keep believing. You might say, I've been doing all that. I've been waiting. You know that song, it's a verse where it says, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And a lot of us are still waiting for that morning to get here, right? Keep trusting Jesus, because he gives us this incredible promise in John's gospel. We looked at it briefly 2 weeks ago. But let's look at John 14, verse 13 and 14. Jesus tells us, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Why? So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. That's what it's about, bringing glory to the Father. Jesus says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Anything? Now, before we start complaining and say, well, that ain't true because I ask Jesus for stuff all the time. He never come through like that for me. Before we complain, we got to remember the qualifiers that we looked at 2 weeks ago. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus said that this promise is for all who believe in him. And he will answer us in his name. I'll do whatever you ask in my name. That's the qualifier, is that we truly believe in him and we ask in his name. In his name means under the authority of Christ, right? His name is his authority. So when we ask in Jesus' name, we're placing ourselves under his authority and we're saying, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you in answering my prayer because you know me better than I know myself. And you know what's best for me. And I have to learn to trust you more and do things your way more instead of insisting on doing things my way. Is that speaking to anybody besides me? Psalm 37, verse 34 tells us, wait for the Lord and keep his way. Keep his way, not our way. Keep his way. Isaiah 40, verse 31, this is a more familiar verse for some. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Anybody's weary or worn out, there's a promise there. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. But I don't want to wait on the Lord. He's too slow. Well, then don't complain about how tired you are. Because he's telling you right there, if you wait on him, he'll renew our strength. Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait patiently for the Lord. Well, I'm not really good at that, are you? And there's a difference between waiting for the Lord and waiting patiently for him. So when we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking, let's remember that our asking must be in his name, under his authority, and according to his nature and his character. The Lord's not going to grant any requests that are made that are in conflict with his character or that are contrary to his will or to his nature. And like I said before, we can't use the phrase in Jesus' name as if it's our guarantee that he'll fulfill our selfish desires and requests. That won't work on him. Say, but Jesus, I prayed in your name, so where's the answer? It doesn't work like that. But if we are truly following the Lord, you know, and we're praying for things that will bring glory to God and not to ourselves, those are the kind of prayers the Lord is more inclined to answer. And let's remember, just because our prayers don't get answered exactly how we want them to, that doesn't mean God didn't answer us. That just means he had a better plan than we did. Do you remember these four words that we looked at 2 weeks ago? There's sometimes these are answers to our prayers. Go, grow, slow, and know. Now, sometimes God gives us the green light and answers our prayers with a go full speed ahead. And we don't want to run ahead of him because we got impatient, but man, we sure don't want to lag behind him either. When he says go, we want to move. When God was leading the Israelites through the desert with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day, when the cloud moved, the people moved, right? When the cloud stopped, the people stopped. So we don't want to get ahead of God's timing, but we sure don't want to procrastinate, make excuses, and get lazy when God is saying, go, now. I'm still waiting. I'm still thinking about it. Maybe it's not a good time. And he's saying, go. You've been praying for this. Go. Now, sometimes the answer to our prayers grow. Sometimes we need to do some maturing and growing up, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually first, before the Lord opens that door we've been knocking on. And he may be telling someone here this morning, there's not many of us here, but maybe you're here to hear this. He's saying, I hear your prayer. I hear you. But you're not ready yet. Oh, I hate hearing that. You're not ready yet. He's saying, don't rush it. It's coming. It's coming, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be wonderful. But you still need to grow some. That's a hard one. Sometimes God's answer is slow. It's kind of similar to grow, but he's saying, slow down, my child. Don't be in such a hurry. The world has you fretting and fussing and fuming, but trust me. Pull over into the slower traffic lane for a while and follow me. I'll get you there. I'll get you there at the right time if you'll trust me. And I believe the hardest answer for us to accept is when the answer is no. When God's answer is no, we wonder, why not? Why not, God? Why won't you say yes? What was so wrong with that prayer that you're not answering it? And it really requires a lot of faith and a lot of trust and believing that God loves us so much and that he wants the best for us so much that at times he will answer, no, I'm not going to do that because I know what's best for you. We may not understand his reason, but we got to trust him. And we got to trust that his way is so much better than our way. It's not on the screen, but Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 gave me clarity on why God would answer no to a very heartbreaking, desperate prayer we prayed over and over and over and over, hoping our daughter Amy would get healed here on this side of heaven. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God told us, my thoughts are completely different from yours, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And when nothing made sense in the world to me, that was the only two verses of scripture that held me together. It's the only verses that kept me from going off the deep end. And if you're struggling with a no answer this morning from God, I hope that passage will be one that brings some clarity and comfort for you. It's Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. It still helps me today, years later. So let's look at another qualifier to getting answers to our prayers. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. John writes, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Listen to this. That if we ask anything, how? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for." I read that over and over. I thought, wow, that's another one of those too good to be true sounding promises in God's word. But don't overlook the qualifier, that little underlined phrase, according to his will, not ours, his will. Now, we already covered in my name means under the authority of Christ. His name is his authority. We place ourselves under your authority, Jesus, because we trust you. According to his will basically means we don't know everything, God, but you do. Therefore, if you don't give us what we're praying for, if you don't give us what we're asking you for, we're going to have to trust that you know what's best for us and that you will give us what we really need. It may not be what we're praying for. And you'll give it to us when we need it. And it may be at the last minute, but it'll be right on time because it'll be on your time. So we're going to have to be more focused on your will, Lord, than our own will. Now, that may be hard to say and really mean it. But we got to get to that place where we can say like Jesus did in the garden, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Father." So here's two things we need to remember about God answering our prayers. Number one, God answers in his name. And two, God answers according to his will. It's not on the screen, but he answers, but his timing is not our timing. Ain't that the truth? God answers, but he draws us into a deeper relationship with him as part of the answer. How many have experienced that? We struggle and we wrestle with him and we wait and we pray and we wait and it just draws us into this closer relationship with him. We get to know his heart more. God answers, but oftentimes we resist his answer because we don't like it. Right? We pray, "God, where are you? I've been praying for my spouse for years and I don't see any change. Where are you? I've been praying this same prayer for my spouse for years." And God says, "I'm right here. I heard every word you said. But I want to talk to you about you, not your spouse." How do you like that? We don't like that kind of answer, do we? God is answering us, but we may not like his answer. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. So if God answers according to his will, which he does, then it would benefit us greatly to have a greater revelation of what his will really is. And there's been hundreds of books, maybe thousands of books written, maybe more, I don't know, about discovering God's will for your life. You know, I'm sure we have a couple of them on our bookshelf. And you can run out and buy them. You can order them on Amazon. But I'm going to save every one of you some money this morning and just tell you, look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul wrote, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." How? By changing the way you think. Some translations say renewing your mind. Changing the way you think. Then listen to this. "You will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." There it is. You want to know what God's will is for you? You'll learn it this way. Paul's trying to tell us, stop trying to live like everyone else. Don't copy the world. Don't copy what they're doing. Don't chase after pleasure and entertainment. Don't just pursue more possessions and status and comfort. Paul says, be transformed. Let God transform you from the inside out. Stop copying what the world is doing. Have enough godly wisdom to know where to draw your boundary lines. Let Holy Spirit help you decide what's off limits for you and your loved ones and stick to that. But our refusal to conform to the world's value system has to go deeper than just our behavior and our appearance. It must be firmly planted in our minds and in our hearts. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll change the way you act. You know, it's possible for us to avoid a lot of the world's ways, but still be prideful, right? Still be selfish, still be jealous, still be stubborn, still be rebellious, still be arrogant, still be rude, still want it our way. We can be solid Christians, but we could be obnoxious about it. See, it's only when the Holy Spirit renews and redirects our minds that our lives will be truly transformed and we'll be able to understand God's will for our lives. It won't be such a mystery. We need to break free from that me-first pattern of this world. We need to learn to look at our lives asking a different question, asking a new question. And that question is, what does God want for me? Not what does Bob want for me, or not what does this want for me. What does God want for me? Remembering his plans for us are good. His plans for us are to prosper us and not to harm us. His plans for us are to give us hope and a future. So what does God want for us? What's the best and perfect use of my life for his purposes and not just my own purposes? See, when we can think like that, our minds are being renewed. Because we're selfish by nature and we're only thinking about ourselves. But we can say, what's the best and perfect use of my life for God's purposes here while I'm here on this earth? What are his plans? What are his purposes for me? Because he's got them. It's not just about me finding how much enjoyment I can get out of this life. And when we can think like that, our minds are being renewed and our lives will be transformed. And we'll be less worldly minded and we'll be more heavenly minded, more kingdom minded. And our heart's cry will be, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done, Lord, here on the earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Right? I think it was Johnny Cash who wrote, but you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Now, I love me some Johnny Cash, and I get what he's saying. But I really love what a guy by the name of Corey Russell from IHOP in Kansas City said. He said, unless we're heavenly minded, we can't be any earthly good. You get it? Unless we're heavenly minded, we can't be any earthly good. When we look at the condition of the world we're living in today, wouldn't you agree we need more heaven on earth? Our daily prayer should be, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And use us to release more of heaven into the earth as your ambassadors. You know, oftentimes we think about, oh man, can't wait till we get to heaven. Can't wait. I wonder all these things that are going to be in heaven. You ever stop and think what's not going to be in heaven? There's not going to be any anger. There's not going to be any jealousy. There's not going to be any fighting. There's not going to be any racism. There's not going to be any sickness or disease. There's not going to be any lies in heaven. There's not going to be any hatred in heaven. There's not going to be any sadness. There's not going to be any evil or sin. Imagine that. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. We need more heaven on earth, folks. We need more heaven on earth. And we need to pray for that. Because God will answer that prayer. And it'll be according to his will. That's how he taught us to pray. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep trusting. And keep believing while you keep waiting. We're going to close right there. I want to open the front up if anybody wants prayer for anything. But also this morning before we started, we only had like 20 pair of shoes. And I was going to ask everybody to grab a pair or two of shoes and pray over them. But I think with this many shoes, we'll just kind of come down and if you want to, just stand around them. Visualize children in every pair of these shoes. That's an awesome thought. To think there's a kid somewhere, who knows where, Philippines, Africa, India, that's going to have these shoes on their feet that they wouldn't have had if it wasn't for somebody bringing them here to Joy Christian Fellowship. So here in Charleston, Tennessee, all these shoes, they're going to go to Chattanooga, they're going to go to Texas, they're going to be sorted and split up and spread out and sent all over the world. And we don't know, maybe some will go to some of the orphanages we've supported through Serving Orphans Worldwide, but they're going to go somewhere, that some of them stay in our country. There's a lot of kids in this nation that need shoes too, so they're going to stay here as well. But if you want prayer for anything, I'll stand off to the side for a while. If not, just gather around. And we just want to bless these shoes and bless the children. Try to picture who's going to be wearing them, boy, girl, whoever. We got all these water shoes in this box. We're going to find a home for them as well. And, man, thank you for your kindness and your generosity. New socks, new shoes. We do this every year. And you're so generous in doing this that it's hundreds and hundreds of pairs since we've been doing this. Stand with me if you're able. I'm going to say a dismissal prayer. If you got to run, by all means, go ahead. Have a great afternoon. Have a good week. Come back next week. They're going to have live worship next week, right, Rob? Okay. So the team, worship team, next Sunday, live worship. Father, thanks again for everything you do for us. Thank you for the things we take for granted. Forgive us where we complain we don't have enough. We got more than enough, and you're the God of more than enough. So I just pray the words in this message, this prayer thing that we struggle with, how come our prayer's not getting answered? How come, we wonder and we wait and we wonder, do you even hear us, God? And we know you do. Your word is true. And your promises for us are yes and amen, but sometimes there's qualifiers to some of this stuff. Help us, Lord. Help us get in line with you. Help us follow you more closely and be more about your business instead of the stuff in this world, God. Be exalted in our lives. Bless the families here today. Bless each one and the ones that are normally here that aren't here today. And we're going to pray for a while, and then we're going to pray over these shoes. And take these shoes, Lord, and just, you know who needs them. You've already got kids lined up for them. And let it be helpful, but also let them experience the love of Jesus. Because the teams that take these out share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus. This isn't just social work we're doing. This is kingdom work we're doing. And we ask your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.